Hi, this is Pastor Eric Dalma from Gospel of Grace Fellowship. It is our privilege to present to you this classic CIC radio broadcast. We pray that God uses it to encourage you in the gospel and equip you to discern truth from error.
Our topic today is healing of memories or cleansing of the conscience. This is based on issue number 96. The scripture quote that you used started this way. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? It's Hebrews 9:14. Robert, your basic point is wrapped up in this quote. What's the point we're going to focus on for the next two programs?
Well, I think that a lot of people are fooled by the idea that healing of memory sounds like some biblical concept.
It does.
But the teachings that are in the church on healings and memories aren't in the Bible at all. And the closest thing to what they're trying to talk about is found in Hebrews 9:14, where it talks about God cleansing our conscience from dead works. But it doesn't say he's healing us of bad memories, but he's cleansing us from dead works.
What does that mean?
Well, that before we were converted, we were living in sin, and all our righteousness was as filthy rags. And we were living in dead works. In other words, whatever we were doing was leading to death, not life.
Very often, even today, when we meet somebody who has not met the Lord, they're in that position where they're trying to work it out themselves.
Yeah, whatever we did was dead works.
Okay.
Okay, so our conscience is that which, if it's informed correctly, as we were just talking about in our Sunday school class.
We've been having a lot of discussions on that
lately. Yeah, and we were talking about that in 2 Corinthians in our class there. The conscience, especially if it's informed by Scripture, but even if it's not, is telling us that we're sinners, telling us that we're sinful and wicked. And so how exactly does the blood cleanse the conscience? Well, the blood of Christ washes away our sins.
Amen.
And it removes the guilt before God that we had, and gives us a new life in Christ so that we can serve the living God in a way that's acceptable to him, which is by faith in the finished work of Christ and having the imputed righteousness of Christ. Now, what does that have to do with healing of memories?
That was my question.
Oh, see, I got my role reversed here tonight.
Who's who here? Come on. Okay, go with that.
Well, the healing of memories is suggesting that our problem isn't sin. Our problem isn't our guilt before God. Our problem is that we have bad memories, or our problem may be what somebody else did to us, or whatever it is that we want healed about our memories.
We're going to hold that because we're going to have to deal with that pretty much in depth in a little while. Let's go back to the paper. You started out with an Agnes Sanford story. Could you refresh our memories on that, please?
Okay. The person who invented inner healing was a lady by the name of Agnes Sanford, who did most of her writing in the 1930s and 1940s.
Okay.
And she has an interesting story. She grew up with parents who were missionaries, and she didn't care for the Christianity that they held to and that they taught. And
They were a traditional Christian family, right?
Yeah, and she didn't like it. Okay. And she was disillusioned with the whole thing, and was looking for another version of Christian religion. She got hooked up in really the precursor to the New Age, the Theosophical Society, New Thought. Then she got into the depth psychology of Freud, and then more particularly Carl Jung, and was also influenced by Emmett Fox of the Unity School of Christianity down, I believe, in Kansas, which is where the New Age was kind of the rage even before anybody used the term New Age.
Wow.
So a very good book that I want to recommend is Abusing Memories by a lady by the name of Jane Gumprecht, who is actually a medical doctor. And she researched this and wrote an excellent book about Agnes Sanford and her whole inner healing teaching.
Okay. Okay. Well, how about that teaching, the Agnes Sanford teaching? Did she tie into any other teachers that we would know about?
Well, she had followers, okay? She was associated with a fellow by the name of Martin Kelsey, and I've written about him before, and he wrote a lot of books, who was also a follower of the Carl Jung and his whole cosmic consciousness idea.
Wasn't she also a mentor of John Sanford?
Yeah.
It's a different
John
name.
And Paula, you know, well, there was a John Sanford who was their son that was also into this. And then there's a John and Paula Sanford that aren't related, who were followers of her, who still have a ministry out there and taught a lot of inner healing theories as well. This stuff proliferated through the church starting in the 60s and 70s. It was relatively unknown in the 40s or 50s, although that's when Agnes wrote her books. But then Ruth Carter Stapleton, the sister of Jimmy Carter, began teaching very similar ideas in the 70s. You may remember that.
I read Agnes Sanford at the time, and then I read Ruth Carter Stapleton. Yes.
Yes, and then this John and Paula Sanford had their version of inner healing. And people keep inventing new ones. Now we have Theophostics, which we've done a program on, that's based on very similar ideas. And yes, all of these can be traced back ultimately to Agnes Sanford. And I think the biggest question that Christians ought to ask is, how did all this occult stuff come into the church to start with? And where was the discernment?
That's exactly it. We're going to have to deal with that. But what's the primary idea behind inner healing?
Well, according to Jane Gumprecht's book, and I've got primary source material myself. I have Agnes Sanford's books in my...
And what do you call that library?
My heresy library, which I use for researching for these articles. And she has her story written up in one of her books, and she believes in the preexistence of souls. And she had an out-of-body experience where she went back before her birth, and in this experience, Jesus asked her to come into the world. This is before she was born, and help people find healing. So she agreed to this before she was born.
Yep.
And came into the world. And she was a very troubled person and had a lot of sorrows and a lot of disillusionment. And so this idea that she had agreed to come into this world to go through all this stuff to help people get healed before she was born helped her find some purpose or meaning in life.
Oh, man.
According to her own biography. So this book called Sealed Orders, where this is found. Now, here's the amazement. These books written by this occultist, Agnes Sanford, are being sold by Christian publishers and brought into the church and started a whole movement within the church. And the lack of discernment is astonishing.
Well, I think you had like five areas that sound really kind of weird, but the inner child was part of it, the pristine inner child.
Yes.
And there were a few other concepts that, man, where'd they come from? I think the unconscious mind, that would be Carl Jung.
Yeah, I think that if you dig around in this, and I've done a lot of research and I've written papers about Christian divination and some of this stuff, Carl Jung's name comes up again and again and again. He heavily influenced Morton Kelsey, who wrote many books about this. Kelsey is quoted by these other authors, and Sanford got her stuff from Jung, and Carl Jung was an occultist himself. He had a spirit guide by the name of Philemon.
Of all names.
And he's even got drawings in one of his books of what this Philemon looked like.
Wow.
And he believed in the cosmic unconscious. So in other words, there's this pool of experiences and memories that go beyond the individual. So you have the idea of the interconnectedness of souls.
Okay, and that's that collective unconscious.
Yeah, the
also.
Collective unconscious,
yeah.
Which, by the way, is what New Agers believe in.
Yes.
And this came into the church through people like Martin Kelsey and Agnes Sanford.
Where'd the repressed memories idea come in? Because that's going to be part of what we talk about.
Well, if you go into Jung's theories, the material that may be causing people emotional problems could even have come from elsewhere, outside of the person.
Okay.
Within this unconscious that's hooked up to the rest of the world out there, you may have all sort of things that are under the surface.
There's also the repressed memories bit, and then we also went to interpretations of first memory events, and you talked about that in the Theophostics discussions.
Right? Yes, and they're all based on the same idea that somehow there's material inside of us, in this unconscious, and that this material is causing us problems now, and that the material needs to be accessed by some means, because if it's in this unconscious, then we don't know what it is, all right? And so techniques are developed to access the unconscious mind to uncover the material in there, to bring it out into the open, and then to somehow heal this material. Now, all of this is extremely tenuous because one of the things that happens is that people are starting to access repressed memories and remember things that actually turns out never even happened. And there have been lawsuits about that.
Okay. What does the Bible say about all this?
It doesn't say anything about it. Does the Bible teach there's an unconscious mind? No, it's a psychological theory. Does the Bible teach that memories have to be healed? No, it's a psychological theory. Does the Bible teach some of the techniques that they use to access this unconscious mind, like hypnosis or this random association or the theophostic version where you try to get people to re-experience the pain and try to identify whatever that first memory event was? There's all kinds of these things. None of this is in the Bible. None of it. It's all concocted by people in the 20th century. It was unheard of before the 20th century, by the way.
Ouch.
And when you go back and research this, like this Jane Gumprecht did in such a fabulous way, you find out it comes from the occult.
Boy. Okay, well, we have to outline what are we going to be covering in the next, I don't know if this is going to take one, two, or three sessions, but as long as it takes us, all right? Could you outline for us what we're going to cover?
Well, we're going to deal with some of these false premises that we've been talking about.
All right.
Okay. And then I think we should explore a little more, as we mentioned, Hebrews and the whole idea of the cleansing of the conscience. I think that this thing is getting us off track from what our real problem is.
I think you've talked about the fact that that should be sanctification, not about memories.
Exactly. Okay. And then we're going to talk about some of these teachings and how they've harmed people, some of the damage that's been done, terrible damage to people in the name of Christ, and how God actually uses everything for those who are redeemed for our good. We shouldn't look at our memories as some sickness that somehow has to find a cure, but as a part of what all these all things that work together for good for those who love God are called according to his purpose. So if we begin to see things from a biblical perspective, it'll keep us from getting into these false teachings that are going to put us into bondage.
Now, your first major top in the paper, your first major heading was false premises of memory healing theories. So under that concept, let's talk about a few things. What's the basis for memory healing theories?
Well, the theory is that memories must be identified, accessed, and manipulated in some way for a Christian to find healing.
Okay, give us biblical proof for that.
Well, there isn't any.
There's no biblical proof. Okay.
No.
What do they base it on?
Well, Christ and his apostles didn't know about any such thing as healing of memories.
No. We're having a Mark study in our house just on what he did teach, and that hasn't come up yet.
Well, it hasn't come up. I've been teaching through the Bible for 30 years, and I haven't found it there yet. Now,
okay, so it's anecdotal.
Yeah. People come and say that they're Christians. They've tried what the Bible teaches, like Bible study, prayer, worship service, and fellowship, and these things don't work. It's amazing how, if you read enough of these books, and I've been reading them off and on for 20 years, I've got a whole shelf of them, of these false inner healing books in my heresy library, and some of them are really thick. John and Paul Sanford have two huge, thick books covering everything you can imagine, none of it biblical, but what causes this problem, what causes this problem, and they're going to analyze the human heart and go in there and do some sort of heart surgery to fix all these problems. And it's unbelievable how extensive this material gets. But the fact is, there's no biblical ground whatsoever. The Bible never identifies our memories as our problem.
What do they mean by none of this works?
They all say that Christianity is failing to heal people.
Oh, okay.
And that's what Agnes Sanford believed.
Okay.
Let's just take Ed Smith and his theophostic thing that's getting into so many churches. His book starts out by giving anecdotal evidence that Christianity doesn't work. People tried prayer, that doesn't work. They tried Bible study, that doesn't work. They went to church, they did the things the Bible says to do, it doesn't work. So what's the problem? Well, they have these memory problems, first memory events, and somebody has to get in there and find out this information and do something about it. So I think we ought to be very suspicious of any teaching that starts out by telling us that what the Bible says doesn't work.
Okay, that's our first flag. Let's go after this one, though. how do they start? I mean, if you're talking about memories are the key, they must have to go back into it.
Well, you can talk to people. I'm not saying people don't have painful memories. And people have been abused. People have been mistreated by their parents. People have gone through divorce.
It's real.
Well, everybody's been abused by somebody. You can't grow up around other kids and not have somebody make fun of you. Or
drive a car from here to the next corner. Really?
There's always something.
There's always something in the way.
Exactly. So you create a universal need for this once you teach these theories that every human being is going to need this ministry because everybody's had some memory they don't like because we live in a fallen world, okay? So the proof that you need the ministry is that you have a memory that's unhappy. Now, if you say you don't have too many of those, then they'll suggest that you need to recover forgotten memories because there's got to be something causing me emotional pain. See, the sickness that they claim we need to be healed of is emotional pain.
Ah, okay.
In fact, Ed Smith, in his Theophostic version of Healing of the Memories, denies that you can be an adequate Christian if you really have emotional pain. It shows you're not healed.
Brother.
And so when I did a seminar on that one time, I pointed out that Jesus had emotional pain in the Garden of Gethsemane. Paul had emotional pain according to Romans chapter 9, where he said he had unceasing grief in his heart.
Yep.
And we can read Psalms about people having pain, but nowhere is that identified as being a sin or a sickness.
Exactly right.
And so, dear Christians that are listening to this broadcast, don't be deceived. These people are telling you that you can't trust your Bible. I don't care how many wonderful things they say. They're trying to diagnose problems the Bible doesn't see as problems.
Well, you mentioned the specific assumptions were that if someone feels emotional hurt, they cannot identify the particular memory. The cause must be repressed, and so therefore we're going to have to go after that. Scripture doesn't prove that. It doesn't support it, and scientific evidence doesn't even support it.
Yeah, and these inner healers actually have techniques to go back into the mother's womb and try to heal memories that people had before they were born, all right?
Yes.
And you should hear some of these theories. I've been around, and I was in a group that used to do this in the 70s, and people are claiming that all their problems are caused because when they were in the womb, their mother considered having an abortion and decided not to, okay?
Yeah.
And so they get a revelation that that's the way it was, and then they're diagnosed as having problems, and then they have to do some technique that these people invent, whatever it might be, usually something to do with Jesus or the Holy Spirit or some utterances that you say or some utterance somebody says over you.
Exactly.
To fix the problem that you can't even prove was real. And the other thing that's interesting is Dr. Gumprecht points out, scientists have proved that the part of the brain that would store these memories isn't developed yet in the womb. So therefore, these memories that people have in the womb, they can't actually have. So this whole thing's concocted.
So, okay, the concocted portion is what? They go back and they find these memories.
They get it by subjective means or by some revelation or by some technique like hypnosis or whatever they may use to try to get back into this material. But it's all based on an unbiblical assumption.
What are some of the effects of that?
It's terrible. It creates, I know what it does because I've known people that spent years getting this kind of ministry. It creates people that are very, very vulnerable, and it's very hard for them to mature and grow as Christians because you never can know that you're done with this.
That's one. And the other is some of the stuff is absolutely wrong, isn't it? I mean, like, there have been some family situations where people were accused of things that never happened.
Absolutely. In my article, I showed a website. There's a whole website just in the United Kingdom that lists article after article after article after article of people who were falsely accused of things by people who recovered memories of things that never happened. Hmm. There was a lawsuit in several of them in the United States, but one that I read about where a daughter of a pastor went to a Christian counselor and was convinced that she'd been molested by her father.
Oh, man.
And this stuff came out public. The guy was fired from his job. The family was torn to pieces. And he hired a lawyer, and the thing came to trial, and they were able to prove that because she had specific times, events, and places, they were able to prove that it was impossible to have happened.
Wow.
And
but the damage done.
Yeah, and the guy wins the lawsuit.
Yes.
But now his ministry is destroyed. His family is destroyed.
And that memory to the people, by the way, that read the thing, they remember always that this is this defrocked individual.
In fact, there was enough lawsuits on this that now the counselors are starting to run away from this repressed memories, not out of concern about what's true or right or godly, but out of fear of lawsuits.
Oh, my.
And I know a lot of these because I write these articles and I get emails from all around the world. I got an email from a lady in Australia who lost her family because some family member went to this theophostic ministry, uncovered some repressed memories. Now, to be fair, Ed Smith says that he warns counselors not to do this.
Okay.
All right.
Good.
And she's gone to him, and he says, no, I tell counselors, don't go there. Don't go to the repressed memories. But nevertheless, they do, because these are amateurs that are doing what they do. Okay. And she lost her family because these allegations were believed, although they were false. There was a divorce and estranged family members, and it destroyed her life. So I would say, if you're listening to this broadcast, don't even think about concerning yourself with repressed memories. Well, let me give you several reasons. Number one, they may not even have happened. Amen. Okay, you may go into some altered state of consciousness, whether it's under hypnosis or some other technique, and Satan plants things in there to destroy families, things that never happened. Number two, your problems aren't based on your memories. They're based on your sin against God. Now, I'm not saying people haven't been sinned against and abused, but somebody sinning against me cannot send me to hell. But me sinning against God and not having the blood of Jesus to wash it away will send me to hell. So our big problem is solved by the blood of Jesus. What people did to us, they'll have to answer to God for. It's not our big problem. So there's another reason not to go into these so-called repressed memories. And number three, it may be God's gift to you that you don't remember certain things.
Interesting.
Okay. It may be just a mechanism to make life less painful. For example, we have a fellow who is part of our church. He's now a missionary who was burned over 90% of his body.
Amazing story.
And I went and saw him. I'd never seen anybody in so much pain and suffering. And I couldn't believe he wanted to live, but he did. He wanted to live. And he was in excruciating, agonizing pain. And what they had to do to just keep him alive is just, I don't want to describe it. It's so bad. And when it got done, when he finally recovered, he can't remember those first 3 months that he was laying there in the hospital going through that. He can't even remember.
Amazing.
Not because he tried to forget. He just can't. And he said, I wouldn't want to be able to remember that. All he knows about it is descriptions of what other people told what they saw him going through.
I visited him at the time also, and I couldn't believe what he was going through every day with the whole, they put him in water, all kinds of cleansing thing because they have to keep doing so many things. And you're right, no memory of that whole thing. I thought, oh man, what a blessing.
Yeah, so I've given you several reasons not to go into these therapeutic sessions where you're trying to uncover repressed memories. And another one, let me give you a fourth reason. Much of it is based on this whole unconscious mind theory.
Okay.
And that's not proven. Freud and Jung didn't agree with each other on this. They believed there was an unconscious, but they had different theories. This is called depth psychology.
Yes.
It's just one branch of psychology that some people buy into, but it's not a proven fact that this unconscious, as it is described by these theorists, even exists. And yes, there are things that in our mind that we aren't consciously remembering, but that's not what they're talking about. Okay. They have a much more elaborate theory than that. So these ministers and ministries are basing what they're doing on the most shaky of foundations of false premises and dangerous practices.
Okay. We have to move to emotional pain. You made a comment a little while back that it's not a disease that must be cured. Okay. Well, let's talk about emotional pain.
Yeah, it's interesting. Dickens wrote a book. It's just a fiction,
Charles Dickens.
Yeah, which a person was lamenting unhappy memories and ran into this ghost, Dickens has ghosts in his stories. And he gets this loss of all bad memories.
Oh.
And he has the gift of doing this for others. And as the novel proceeds, this thing turns out to be a horrible curse, a terrible millstone.
Why?
Because he starts hurting people needlessly because he can't remember what hurts and what doesn't hurt. Okay, and all kinds of other bad things happen. See, the fact that we remember that somebody spoke abusively to us and we remember that it's hurtful is part of how, as we grow up, if we're, especially as Christians, wanting to be godly people, we know what not to do. Okay?
Exactly right.
We know, we have good motivation for being different. I know many people that I've met in the years of being in the ministry who had terrible childhoods and grew up and ended up being excellent Christian parents. Why? Because they knew what not to do. They were motivated and they said, I am never going to allow my children to go through what I did.
It's beautiful.
And so if we had no memories of these things, we'd have a hard time being motivated to avoid them.
You know, it's interesting. As you're speaking, I'm thinking about the term, don't go there. What's that based on? You know, just a simple thing is I've been there. I understand what the implications are. Five moves down, you're going to have a real problem, you know, if you're thinking of it like a chess game. Don't do that.
Yeah, and just think about the speakers that they bring in, whether in a Christian church or even in a secular world. There are recovered drug addicts that, that go to high schools and tell them what a hellish life they put themselves in by getting into drugs.
Yes.
There are people that were maimed in car accidents by doing risky things that will go and speak to schools and say, drive safely, wear your seatbelt, look what happened to me. If we had no memories of bad outcomes and hurt, we would not be able to warn anybody about anything because nobody'd even know what it was that was so bad.
You tied your discussion in the paper to a number of scriptures. You want to comment on any of those? It had to do with Paul's comments.
Okay, yeah, well, I alluded to this earlier. Paul said this.
He did.
I am telling the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart. Now, what was causing Paul's grief and sorrow? The fact that so many of his Jewish brethren were not turning to Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And he loves his Jewish brethren, and he prays for them. And he's motivated. Now, this pain and sorrow that Paul had motivated him to preach the gospel so that God would rescue others from their lost and sinful condition.
Yes. So it's real pain. It's not going to get fixed, but it drives him forward.
Right. And as a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that if we are living godly in Christ Jesus, we're going to suffer persecution.
Yes.
And it tells us that like Lot, it talks about this, I believe in 2 Peter 2, his righteous soul was vexed day by day as he beheld the unprincipled conduct of ungodly men.
Yes.
Okay? That for us, it's like we live in a wicked world. And because we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we know him as our Lord and Savior, and we know his truth, and we know what righteousness is, and we long to be better than we are, we lament even over our own sinfulness, yes, like Paul did in Romans chapter 7.
Yes.
Because of that, we can't escape the fact that we're going to have sorrow in this world.
You know, it's interesting. I'm also reading a number of things about what's going on in the world. I mean, read the paper this morning. I mean, it's all you have to do, and you can go into low-key despair if you want to. But it really does drive me closer to the gospel. Get back in the Word.
Right. Here's the deal. These inner healing teachers, whose teachings have not come from the Bible and cannot be found in the Bible, are promising something that is unreal, that somehow we're going to be free from all emotional pain now, that our memories are going to be healed. Well, what does that look like? A memory is a memory. It isn't sick. A memory is just remembering what happened.
True.
That's not going to change unless they somehow give you some forgetfulness potion. And somehow we're going to be just blissfully ignorant. We're just going to go through this life and see all the sorrow and pain around us and all the things that ever happened to us or what happened to anybody else is just going to bounce off of us like Teflon.
Yeah.
Is that what we're looking for? Why are we going to these people? What are they offering us that we don't already have through the blood of Jesus, which cleanses our conscience from dead works to serve the living God?
My statement would have been, okay, we're going to have sorrow and grief. Fine, I understand that. What's wrong with trying to make it go away? Who wants to live with it? It's hard.
Well, read the Psalms. Read the Lament Psalms.
Okay. So God allows pain in our life. Are we supposed to embrace it?
We can't get rid of it until the resurrection. Okay? And we can lament. That's okay. You can go to the Lament Psalm, and we can say, how long, O Lord? How long?
Valid.
Because that's a lament. And in some ways, that should be the case, because it shows that we long for Jesus Christ to return. And we long for new heavens and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. We long for the reign of Jesus Christ and for the lion to lie down with the lamb and all these things to be literally true. Yes, but this is an issue of healing. It's an issue of what kind of world we live in.
You closed with Romans 8, and I thought it was probably not a bad place to wrap this segment up.
Well, Romans 8 says that God causes all things to work together for the good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose.
Amen.
And all things include our memories. So I would just give you a little simple logic that if these memories that we can't change anyhow, I mean, there's no time machine.
Right.
There's no way of going back and changing what actually happened. That God gave us a memory is part of our being human. All right.
Exactly.
And we can't change it. And because we now are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and we're serving God and we are called according to his purpose, then God is going to use that for his good and to bless other people as he changes us and as we go forward in faith. So I would say nothing could be more dangerous than going to one of these inner healers and having them mess around in your mind trying to change your memories.
Amen. Next time we're going to start with the Bible teaches the cleansing of the conscience, not the healing of memories. And I think that's probably worth hearing. So
we're out of time for this edition of Critical Issues Commentary Radio. We want to remind you that you can access this program at our website at cicministry.org. We want to remind you of Philippians 1:27, stand firm in one spirit, with one mind, and strive together for the faith of the gospel.